You know, I was so encouraged on Wednesday we came for a prayer meeting, and one of these young, wonderful daughters we have, very beautiful girl. You know, I have a lot of them, and if you want to see me after service, you see me. I can give you some discounts. She came to me and said, Daddy, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, can we talk? She said, no, I wasn't in church on Sunday. I was in North Carolina. He said, the Lord was telling me something. Because I said, you came for a prayer meeting. He said, yeah. I said, the Lord was telling me something. I want you to listen to this. He said, God was telling me that if I don't grow spiritually, I will not be able to fight spiritual battles. Exactly what I was preaching on Sunday. You were there. I said, God told you this. He said, he was telling me that unless I grow spiritually, that I will not be too useful and I will not be able to engage and fight spiritual battles. And that he wants her to stop kidding herself. He said, Pastor, he told me to wake up. And he said, Pastor, Bible studies, I'll be there. That's why I came for a prayer meeting. He said, I've made up my mind that nothing will stop me. Because he told me that stop kidding yourself. No kidding. Get serious. And I called some of them together. I said, come and hear. Isn't what I've been preaching? That God was telling one of us in North Carolina the same message. Is she here? She's here. Stand up. Is that true what God told you? Praise the Lord. So you see, I was so encouraged because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be. Yeah, and I said, God told you exactly what I was preaching on Sunday. You were not here. And then we had another testimony from my brother, Mohammed. Exactly what I was talking on Wednesday, God told him. He experienced it hard. God confirmed it again. You were there? Exactly what I was telling you. So I was so encouraged. That God is saying, say it. That's what it is. He that has ear to hear, let him hear. Brethren, we live in a time, you don't even need me to tell you. These are perilous times. These are very dangerous times. We live in the last days. Strange things are happening. Strange sicknesses. Strange. The ones, they don't know the name. All of a sudden, there's an outbreak of something. There's one hospital here. I think about the 10th person has died, their child, because something broke out there. Started killing children. A lot of stuff going on. Exactly what the Bible told us. That in the last days, these things will happen. Earthquakes, fires, historic proportion. 1,000-something people have not been found in California. 1,200. They're engaging all manner of people, looking for people, whether to see bone. Strange things are happening. Completely what the Bible warned us will happen. You talk of climate change. It's demonic. Completely satanic. The devil is mad because his days are numbered. Corruption everywhere. Man, no man. I didn't know this is the home of man, no man. I didn't know they do it here. I found out they do it. And they settle. They also leak oil. Because the whole world lieth in darkness. Brethren, I am telling you the truth. Many people are falling from the faith. Many. A lot of people. And this is a time of very strong skepticism about God when Jesus is not popular. He warned us. He said, you'll be hated of all men because of me. You'll be hated. And he said, men will not accept the truth anymore. They will not stand the truth. They will look for where they tell them, massage their ears with things that make them comfortable. And he said, many people will rise and say, I'm the Christ. I'm your deliverer. I'm doing deliverance for you. He said, they will even make merchandise of you. Are they not calling you, taking money from you to pray for you? Second Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why is it hid? Verse 4. In whom the God of this world had blinded, had what? Talk to me, Christians. Has what? Blinded. See what the devil does? He blinds the minds of people. So they won't believe, including Christians. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He blinds people from the truth. He wants to hide the truth from you and me. He doesn't want you to come and learn. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He wants to blind. He wants to hinder. He wants to stop. Because he knows that as long as you are ignorant, you are vulnerable. He will try to refocus you away from Jesus and focus you on you and focus you on religion and focus you on what you do and focus you on all those things that people do, wonderful, wonderful things, none of which is the foundation God laid. None. It's only one foundation God laid, and this is Christ. He will try to refocus you, and you think that those things you are doing is the foundation upon which you carry your life, sinking sand. Refocus you away from Jesus and create for you, like I was saying, his important scale is totally wacky. It's different from God's. He wants to hide it, wants to block it, wants to blind you, wants you to not to have interest, wants to kill your interest. You would rather watch football game. You would rather watch movies. Yeah. Second Corinthians 11:12. But I'll continue doing what I have always done. This will, 2 Corinthians 11:12. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast. Looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. Verse 13. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as what? Apostles of Christ. Continue. But I'm not surprised. Why? Even Satan goes to church. The devil preaches. Shocking. Real. He said, but I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. All manner of doctrines. Or to confuse people. Disguised, cleverly disguised. Prayer, we are praying. He knows you want to pray. Think he's a fool. They call Jesus there. Give me a break. When I was in prayer house, we were calling Jesus. As before, bound by Satan in the world of fear and darkness, be you now renewed in the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We were singing it. It was demonic house. We were singing it. The prophet told me I will be pastor. He was telling us correct prophecies. Told somebody I will marry my wife when I didn't even know her. Deceit of Satan. My father called me, said, my son, that is not God. Even gave my son a name. My father said, you don't call my grandson. That name is from Satan. And my son, Kenichuku Smoba, promptly rejected everything. Deceitful, crafted by demonic intelligence to deceive angel of light. The day the war ended, we were told, and it ended exactly the way he told us. But it was satanic. So I went to him and I said, how come you are marrying two wives? And how come all your prophets are marrying two wives? And how come all the young girls are being defiled? They didn't answer me that question till today. I knew nothing. They said my spirit was witnessing to me that this is not God. But it was so craftily cooked. Man, why wouldn't you think it's God? When they told you, if at one time they told me, they say, we see you being arrested by the Army, Air Force. What are you doing with the Air Force? I said, nothing. The following day, they arrested me for carrying petrol. Because during the war, petrol was banned. So I had a gallon, they caught me. Somebody gave it to me, they caught me. Took me to their barracks. They were angry with me. And as soon as they were going to punish me, one of the officers came who was my classmate. We were secondary school together. The father was very rich, so the father put him in the Air Force so he would never go to war. So immediately he saw me, he said, what are you doing here? I said, your people come. He said, my friend, go home. Leave him alone. That's how I got that. Crafted by Satan. When we talk of satanic deceit, it's not a joking matter. It's not eating rice. So you may not know it. Except God teaches you, you won't discover it. So only spiritual adults can discern distance. You have to grow to be able to begin to understand good and bad. Good and bad is not known. Age helps to know good and bad morally and socially. But when it comes to spiritual things, you need to be spiritually grown to know what the devil is doing and what the Spirit of God is doing. You need to grow spiritually to sense things you don't even see. You come and you say, this is not God. Before you even know it, you say, this is not God. You have that witnessing in you that this is not God. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 4:11 said, then we will no longer be immature like children. Ephesians 4:11. So we'll not be mature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. See what I'm saying? They sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. And we said on Sunday that the way to grow is not how much information you have in your head, that you can quote Bible, you can even preach it. That's not growth. That's not growth. It helps, but that's not growth. Growth comes from the communion you have with the Holy Spirit, which you are responding to. Growth comes from the communion you have with what? I didn't hear you. From the communion you have with what? It's not information. It's what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that brings growth in your life. When you begin to respond to those things, that's what brings growth. Ephesians 4:21. It says, if so be that you have heard him, so you must hear him. It's communion. You have heard him. You've heard and have been taught by him. As the truth is in Christ, he reveals to you the truth that is in Christ. If you've heard him, if he teaches you, if there's communion with the Holy Spirit, if he shows you the mystery of Christ being revealed by the Spirit of God, and then you respond to it, it becomes part of your life. It becomes life. The word becomes life in you. That's growth. Luke 24, 25. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Can we say amen to that? He did what? Opened their what? Minds to understand the scriptures. After he opened their minds, that's what the Holy Spirit does. No pastor does that. No human being opens your mind except him. But he won't open unless you are interested, unless you desire to know, unless you have a hunger, he will leave you where you are. Now, after he did that, see the next verse. And he said, watch this. He took them back to scripture, because that's why the Holy Spirit will always take you back to scripture. He said, it was written long ago that the Messiah will suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Continue. It was also written. See why he's taking them back to what is written. Back to what is written. Back to the scripture. Back to the scripture. That's the Lord Jesus now teaching them. He will take you back to your Bible you are reading and start teaching you what is in that Bible. And it was also written that this message will be proclaimed in authority of his name to all nations. Beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Then 48. You are witnesses of this thing. He will take you back to that Bible you are reading and begin to open your eyes and begin to show you what the Bible is talking about. That's how growth comes. If you don't hear him, you're not going to grow. It's not information. It's not I have information. I can quote the Bible. I've been a Christian for 100 years. It's irrelevant, my friend. So transformation comes from that revelation he gives you, from what he reveals to you about scripture. And that's what Paul wrote in Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, which means don't think like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. So he opens your mind. He opens your mind. By the renewing of your mind, when that happens, that you may now prove what is that, what? Good. And what again? Acceptable. And what again? That's when you know the deceit of Satan. Before then, no. Praise the Lord. First Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Have a desire for it. Have a desire. Now that you have verse 3 now. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. He's talking about grace, the gospel. Now, let me make a statement here. I want you to look up here, please, and listen to me. The most important battle you will win is the battle to study the Bible. Find out what happens in your own personal life. It's always a struggle. Something must come up. You find that Monday to Friday, a lot of things are popping up here and there, and you scarcely have time. You want to, but you scarcely, you see the devil trying to disorganize your things that are legitimate. If you are a pastor and you don't fight this battle, your ministry is useless. Because there are a lot of things, people to see, people to call, people, a lot of people staring at you here and there, here and you must say, no, 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 stop. And take off your phone and study the Bible. If you don't do that, even as a pastor, there are legitimate, oh boy, boy, boy. You go from here to here, but I need to see this person, I need to, and you need to. But you will never grow anymore. And once you stop growing as a pastor, your church ceases to grow. Case closed. Simple. What will you feed them? Information? No. You feed them what he told you. That's why I preached on Friday, on Sunday, and the Holy Spirit went and witnessed to somebody in North Carolina that this is it. North Carolina, that this is it. Because it's from him. You hear, you give. So the result of growth, church, again, growth, church, is not in title. It's not in senior pastor thing. It's not in president thing. It's not even in activities. Growth is to be like Christ, growing into his image, growing into his character, growing into his faith, is to develop faith. To live the life of faith like Christ lived. Actually, you are a summation of your faith. The Christian life is called life of faith. Because it's your faith that is being seen, nothing else. It's to live the life that Christ lived, to live the kind of faith he had in God, to live the way he trusted his Father, the way he relied on the Word. He said, the words I speak are not mine. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He said, it's my Father in me that doeth all things. To develop yourself to the same faith he had that you have in Christ. The same faith, to build your faith up. That's growth. That's growth. It's development of faith. When you grow in faith, your character changes because your faith is what produces your character. Your faith transforms spiritual things into realities. It's your faith that transforms the life in you, the new life you have, the Christ in you, into reality. It's your faith. Nothing else. Nothing else. The Bible said the just shall live by. That's the way it happens. Nothing else. It's growing in faith. It's growing in faith. Everybody say growing in faith. That's what produces the life of love. That's why the scripture says, show me your faith by your works. Because your faith should produce the work. If it's not producing, then the faith is not there. Ephesians 2. Yeah, I read this Ephesians before. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, right? I think so. Yeah, Ephesians 4, 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like who? Christ. That's spiritual growth. That's spiritual growth. Now, how not to grow? There are mistakes we make. How not to grow? What did I say? The Christian tries to improve or do better. That's not how to grow. Actually, that is hedonism. That's not Christianity. That's worship of self. That's boasting in yourself. That's the arm of the flesh. You don't try that. It will fail you. It's the growing, it's not trying. I promise to do better. I'll get better. No. No. I promise to stop this and stop that. No. That's not how to grow. That is trying to bear fruit without the vine. It's impossible. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He's trying to do stuff without him. It's not possible. It's not going to work. Okay, where's the faith? I want to stop. I'm going to stop. I promise to do better. What am I? Where is my faith? I'm declaring it's me. It's me. It's me. And that's what a lot of Christians think Christian growth is all about. It's I want to do more of this, more of that, and more of that, and more of that. And they found it so frustrating because it is a dead end. It will never produce results. It's the flesh. And Paul was warning the church that the thing brings frustration. In Romans chapter 7, verse 21, it brings frustration because it doesn't work like that. I find then a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So you see, people are confused about this chapter 7 of Romans. They think Paul is talking about Jews or no. When he talks about the inward man, he's talking about Christian. Well, the people that have the inward man, born again. He's not talking about the heathen. He's talking about the Christian. He said that delight in the law of God after the inward man, which means he's alive in the spirit. He delights to serve God. Are you following me? After the inward man, he said, I delight. And every Christian loves God. We want to do good. We want to really live for Jesus. He says, but I see another law in my flesh, in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's talking about the sin in the flesh. And the flesh has its own mind and its own desire. 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? Have you ever done New Year resolution? How long did it last? Huh? I want to tell you about myself. But before I tell you, you must promise me you won't tell somebody. Okay, only one person promised me, so I will tell you. You know, there are times I just feel like I want to fast. You know, I just feel like I need to fast. Lord, I want to fast, you know, to get God to do more things. I will start off and I pass by Pizza Palo. That'll be the end of the fast. Sometimes I'll come home. I said, let me even see the fridge, what is there. Then my wife made this stew, fish stew. The thing will smell. I said, okay, let me close this fast. Tomorrow I continue. Then I eat the thing. I have never been able to fast that way. And one time the Lord told me, he said, why are you this religious? He said, why are you doing stuff like this? Did I tell you to do it? I said, no. He said, so why are you doing it? So have you realized you don't have the anointing for it? I don't anoint things of the flesh. Can't. It's not possible. You came up with us wanting to say, what do you gain from that? Every single time I try that, he fails. But when the Lord inspires it, it works really. You won't even feel nothing. Sometimes he won't tell you why, but somewhere along the line, you realize why. But it's never this long punishing yourself type of thing. Praise the Lord. So spiritual growth is not, I'm going to do better. You won't be able because you are boasting in yourself what you are going to do. So how about what the Lord is doing? How about what the Lord is doing? Didn't the Bible say if you want to boast at all, boast in who? In the Lord. You are boasting in yourself. And we go to the Lord. One time I went to God, oh Jesus, I went and laid on the floor in that church. I said, Lord, from today, I won't do this. I was crying. I said, Lord, oh. I said, I surrender. Lord, from today, no more. And then the Lord said, what are you doing there? I said, Lord, I came to surrender. I'm not going to do this again. He said, what are you doing there? Huh? I said, Lord, I came to apologize. I'm so sorry. I will not. What are you doing? He said to me, if you can do those things, why did you come to the altar? Go now. All these things you came here telling me I will never do this. You don't need to come here now. Go and do them. Since you will not, I won't do this again. Do you need to come here? Do you need even to pray? Since you said I will not do it, go and do it now. I don't know if you got what he was telling me. He said, why are you here? You don't need to now go. Since you say you can do it, promising me what you will do. So why do you come to my altar? Why do you come to me? Go, God. You are God on yourself. Go. You are the strength of your life. Go and do. Huh? I said, wow. He said, you're wasting your time. Say ignorance. He said, you know what consecration means? He said, consecration is to throw up your hands with white flag and say, I cannot. I cannot. Except the Lord builds. So that's when I take over from you. But all this boasting you people do, thinking I'm impressed, waste of time. Growth is not that. Is anybody following me? It's not that. It brings frustration. Paul said, I am frustrated. Who delivered me from this frustration? He said, I want to do this. I desire to do this. But I find a sin in my flesh that is blocking me. Have you realized that I was sharing with some of my bosom friends up there, beautiful family, just we've been friends since I came to this country, just this morning. We were sharing beautiful, we had a wonderful time. Wonderful time. That, do you know your children? When you undertake all this wanting to change them with your anger and talk, they get worse. Have you realized? Until you stop and leave it with you, that's when change comes. All this trying to force things must change. Have you changed yourself? That you're changing somebody. The Bible says, who maketh you to be different from another? Is it not God? I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. So the right way to grow now is in Romans chapter 7 verse 4. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. So we're going to tweak something. That's what renew your mind means, is to change the way you think and think properly in line with the word of God. So Romans chapter 7 verse 4. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. What is the point, Paul? What is the point? You died to the power of the law. When you died with Christ, now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of what? Good deeds for God. Continue. Verse 5. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused. The law what? I've asked you here one time that do you know that the speed limit in Garden State Parkway used to be 50 miles per hour? People were going beyond that. So they raised it to 60. And people were, so they raised it again. So the more they raise it, the more people are increasing, because human being by nature is lawless. The flesh is lawless by nature. That's why the law stirs it up. Because once you make a law, the flesh says, I'll break it. Okay, next Sunday we'll do something. We'll lock up one room and put do not enter there. And pass all of you. You will see some of you will go. Listen, they say do not enter. What is inside there? That's the natural human nature. It's rebellious by nature. That's what Paul is saying. He said, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused those things. So when the law came, say, I must break it. It's like giving a dog a bone. Praise the Lord. So he said, the law aroused this evil desire that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. Then verse 6. But now, everybody say, but now. Come on, say it again. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letters of the law. I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do this. That's what the law presented, because there was no spirit of God at the time. They were not born again. They were dead in sin and trespasses. There are no solution. So the law was given to them. I'm going to do this. That was the old way. Old way. I'm going to. That was what Paul was saying. It frustrated him. He said, but glory to God that through Jesus now, I can do what God says. Now it says, now we have been released from the law. For we died to it, are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of, I want to do this, I'm going to be better, I'll stop lying, I will, in obeying the law, I will do it, I will. Not the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of what? Living. I didn't hear you. And that simply means living by faith. For the just shall live. That's what it means, living this way. Living by believing the things that are not revealed to the carnal mind, but they are true. Faith is the evidence of what? That are, And then when you say living in the spirit, what is he saying? Is it not what Jesus said? That God is living, looking for those who worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Those who will believe the truth and walk in it by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's talking about the old way is the way of what I would do. The new way is the way of trusting in what Christ has done. The new way is the way of trusting. The old way is the way of doing. The new way is the way of walking in the spirit, walking in the spirit, walking in faith in things not seen. When you talk of spiritual realm, you are talking of the unseen realm. Walking by faith. Everybody say walking by faith. Come on, say walking by faith. Lord, thank you. So I said to the Lord, I need to explain this. But I think it came across. Did you get it? If you got it, shout hallelujah. I'm so glad you got it. Because you should get it. The new way is walking in the spirit, walking by faith. Walking by faith. So now, Galatians 3:11. I want to show you a couple of things about faith. So you see that it is living by faith, it's walking by faith that the Bible is talking about. Let's read this one. But everybody, let's read this one. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for what? So how does the just live his life? I didn't hear you. Come on, louder now. Louder. Louder. There is nothing like louder. Okay, let's take the next one. Now, I will read it. You tell me what it's saying. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Email, stand up and read it for us. They will tell you what you read. Can somebody give her a micro? If you don't have a micro, read it aloud. Or your husband can echo for you. Go ahead. Listen to her, please. What does faith do for us? What does it do? We stand by what? So if you don't develop your faith, you will fall. For by faith, that's what I'm saying. Spiritual growth is growing your faith, growing in faith, growing in faith, growing in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you, that's what produces the life of Christ. It's not I will do. No, it's produced. Jesus said, it shall be to you according to your faith. Your life is a reflection of your faith. Simple. Now let's read the next one. Acts 26:18. Mike, it's your turn. Acts 26:18. Read it and they tell us. Go ahead. By now, if you have microphone ready now, please. Go ahead.
That they may receive. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in him.
So what does faith in Christ achieve for you?
Sanctification.
Mention one.
Sanctification.
Forgiveness of sin. What is the other one? Inheritance, blessings. What is the other one? Sanctification. It purifies you, because when you have faith in Christ, the old nature is what? Taken away. And you have a new nature. You see what? Then don't let them cheat you. You have one verse before now. I tell them to bring it back. You are in charge. Tell them, bring it back for him. What the first one to open what?
To open their eyes.
And what is it? To turn them from what?
Darkness to light.
That's what faith in Christ is doing. And from the power of what?
Satan.
And what again?
God.
That they may now receive. You see the whole range of benefits we get by faith in Christ. That's why spiritual growth is not what you do. Spiritual growth is faith in Christ that produces sanctification, produces forgiveness. You understand the grace of God. You understand the message of God. Then your inheritance is all your blessings that God has for you. Faith in Christ gives me all of this. So the more I grow in faith in Christ, the more these truths are manifesting in my life. That's spiritual growth. It's not having more information, quoting scriptures you don't understand. It's not being a senior pastor or a president or whatever. People can be whatever they want to be. Babies are pastors. There are a lot of pastors who are babies. Mark, thank you. God bless you. Let's come to this side. President Dokwe, give him the microphone. Okay, Onyeka, since you have the microphone, it's your turn. The husbandman, the laborer is first. The partaker, yeah. So Onyeka's own is Acts 20, the Romans 5, 1 and 2. That's your own. Right, go ahead. 1 and 2.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Okay, go to verse 1 and then Onyeka, ask them, what does faith achieve?
Guys, what does faith achieve?
What does it say it achieves? Like father, like son.
I'm so answering.
Don't preach, you don't preach. Okay, what does faith achieve here?
Is
being justified how? Come on, being justified how? Being justified by the law. What justifies you? Faith in Christ. It's foundational. It's key. Then, because of that being justified, you now have peace. The whole world is condemned. The whole world is condemned. But when you come to Christ, you are justified. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are, because by faith we have received forgiveness. Church, shout hallelujah. By faith, I have received what? So the devil can come and harass me with condemnation. He's a liar. The whole world is condemned. Whoever rejects Christ is condemned. But I've accepted Christ. I'm saved. I move from the power of Satan to power of God. I move from the kingdom of darkness to kingdom of God. I have inheritance. I have his nature. Come on, church. Can you clap for me because you are not in it? So the next verse, when you can read, what did he say? What else do we have by faith? Access by faith where? Every grace of God, you have access to it only by faith. Only by faith. Every work of grace, we have access by faith in it. Where we stand and rejoice. Oh, shout hallelujah. We rejoice in hope of glory. Okay, it was a no call, now it's your turn. You have to represent Umuchu Welo. Ekurabia, people are watching us. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Let Brother Ndokwele read and we tell him.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
So, What is faith here? What is faith doing? What do you mean walk by faith? You live daily by. You lead your life daily. You live it by what? Faith. Is it not what you said? We walk by faith, not by sight. So if we walk by faith, faith in who now? Faith in what now? Faith in Christ.
That's right.
So spiritual growth is establishing your faith and making it rooted and grounded and growing in it. So you walk daily by that faith in Christ and produce that reality of Christ in you is produced not by you. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. Produced by the Holy Spirit. You can't produce it. It's beyond you. Are you kidding me? That's the life of God. Aren't you afraid? It's not human life. It's the life that was in God, that was in Christ. You can't produce nothing like that. Only the Holy Spirit will produce it. So you find that the next time you are talking in love and you surprise yourself. Because the Lord is the power in you, working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when you talk the next time, you're not going to say, Lord, I'm going to change. You say, Lord, thank you. Because you are the one at work. I know I have not gotten there, but the work you started in me, you will. That's how to grow. That's making your boast in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 9:31. Sister Charity. I like the name Charity. Because charity begins, it didn't begin in Abate, Chris, it didn't begin in your house. Okay, Sister Charity, your own is there. Are you getting anything at all? Yeah, Sister Charity, your own is Romans 9:31.
But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay, so what does faith do? What happened here? What happened to Israel? What did Israel do? They followed after what they can do. I will do this. I will obey the law. They did not follow it by faith. They stumbled. Who is the stone of stumbling there? Christ. Many Christians still stumble today. They still stumble today. Okay, let's read this one. I think it's come. It's your turn, my beloved brother. If I to be your turn. Let me give you your own to read. James 1:6-7-8. Three verses. James, put up for Ifeanyi. James 1:6-8. James 1:6-8. Ifeanyi.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
But let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
So what role does faith play in prayer? What role does it play in prayer? Go to the first one. But let him what?
Let him ask in faith.
If you ask in faith, he will not be. So he says, if you don't ask in faith, you will receive what? Say, let not that man think he shall receive. Why? He's unstable. It's unstable. So you see that the key thing in growth is when you grow in faith in Christ, you will be stable. When you pray, you'll be stable. It's not how you shout. It's not how you yell. It's not how you run around everything. It's how much you believe. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Then let's read this one. I'm cutting it. Hebrews 11:6. Let me give the choir opportunity. Choir. Let me give. I want to be partial. Is it okay to be partial? So my daughter will read that one. Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
So how do you please God when you don't develop your faith? How do you please God? You want to please God, but you don't develop faith. Actually, it's your faith that the devil attacks. Because that's what he did to Peter. Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. Because by faith you stand. And without it, you can't please God. You can't live the Christian life. It's not possible. So spiritual growth is not having information in your head or attending all manner of fellowships and confessions. And you can go to all those things and be a baby. Can be everywhere and be ignorant of the truth. But when you begin to do those things by faith, developing your faith, when you go there, you have continuous communion with the Holy Spirit. That's why people come to church. Somebody comes to church, is sleeping. Another person can't have enough. Because while you are preaching, the Spirit of God is talking with him. He's talking with him. Occasionally, he will jot down some things. He's having that conversation going. He's having that conversation going. Sometimes the Lord will remind him some things in his life. Say, that's what happened that time. This is this one. He's coming that sleep doesn't near him. He's engaged. He's involved. It is meat. It is manna. It is food. He's in communion. He's in fellowship. It's an awesome time for him. If you get what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. Absolute truth. So the scripture tells us that in Colossians 2:7, let your roots now grow down in him. Let your roots grow down in him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with what? Thanksgiving. Grow your faith in him. Grow it in him. And you should be taught as you've been taught in the communion with the Holy Spirit. Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what again? And what again? Communion, fellowship. Communion of the Holy Spirit. Be with you all the time. And then, so like we said, is this communion that changes your mind from being carnally minded, that is focused on man, to being spiritually minded, focused on Christ. Carnally minded, focused on man. Everybody say that with me. Carnally minded, focused on man. Spiritual minded, focused on Christ. So that's what the Bible says, that look at Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10. Are we doing okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are getting it, shout hallelujah. Okay, Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know who? Come on. As you learn to know who? Your creator and those who know their God are strong. When you know Jesus, you'll be strong in faith. You must have this focus and desire to know Christ crucified. It should be the focus of your study. It should be the focus of your study. It should be who you want to know. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What? Holy. And what again? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, that you present your what? Bodies, what? I want to ask you a question. Do sacrifices move? Do they move? You're not answering me. Do sacrifices move? Sacrifices are killed. They are brought dead. You kill the animal. You bring it to the altar. You don't bring goat to God on the altar and leave it there. You kill it, bring it. You kill it. Paul said, I die daily. I cease in my activities. Cease from my labors. I die every day. I cease. You are not a sacrifice if you are still trying to do this and do that. You're a sacrifice when you stop. The Bible says, he that believed has entered into his rest and ceased from his labor. That's a sacrifice. Quiet, confident, trusting in the Lord. And the Lord takes it from there. Ha! Glory. The Lord what? Takes from there. I've never seen a sacrifice that you put at the altar. And then he said, I want to say something. That's not a sacrifice. And the Bible said, that's your reasonable service. To bring your body to the altar and say, Lord, I die. Paul said, it is no longer I that live. Which means I'm dead. I'm a sacrifice. I don't live. I don't live no more. I'm dead. I'm done. The life I live now, I live only by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he said, Christ is our life. He is my all. Somebody shout hallelujah. And Jesus told us, if you want to see the glory of God, only believe. The New Testament is about faith and believing. The Old Testament is about the law and doing. If you go to the Old Testament, it's a frustrated route. If you come to the New Testament, it leads you to life. Praise the Lord. So growth is about communion with the Holy Spirit as he reveals Christ to you, because the truth is in him, and he reveals to you the things that God has made you to be. The Bible says we enter into this grace by faith. The things that God has made you to be. The transformation, the change that God has produced in you. And everything God has armed you with in this life. You should know them. You should believe them. If you believe them, you see them. If you acknowledge them, it works. If you acknowledge them, it works. If you acknowledge them, it works. Tell your neighbor what I said. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. The Holy Spirit said to us, if you are redeemed, do what? Says, acknowledge it. If you're a new creature, do what? Says. My mentor said he used to be in secondary school, high school or something. He said he would come to the class and then they would be doing all these things. Young people said, they'll come to him and say, Kenny, do you want to join us? He said, I'm a new creature. They say, a new what? He said, I'm a new creature. They say, a new, what? What's this? He said, I'm dead. I said, but you are here. He said, I'm telling you I'm dead. So they will now flock to him. So he will tell them about this new creature. He will bring his scripture and start preaching Christ and they give their life to him. He said, because I was always confessing it, acknowledging it, he said, all these things that were temptation to the young people was never a temptation to me. The reality of that life was showing in my life. Because I was believing it, the more I confessed it, the more I declared it, I'm not ashamed of it, because that's my identity. It's like me being ashamed of saying my name is Emmanuel. No, I'm a new creature. I'm born again. Christ lives in me. It's my testimony. It's my testimony. And that should be your testimony. That should be your mantra. Can I hear amen? Can we rise up? This is my story.